Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today's guest most certainly goes without exception. He turned chaos in 2008 into opportunity by scaling a national flooring company to over 150 locations and growing. He is the founder and CEO of Footprints Floors International, Brian Park. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick, for having me on here. Not quite international. Someday, maybe. Yeah, Footprints Floors, LLC, I think, is our official name, but we'll take it.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's a great clarification there. But nonetheless, a tremendous company and one that I admire. And you're right here in our backyard in Denver, Colorado, most certainly seeing your growth over the years and have heard from a lot of folks in franchising, mutual connections, really, of just the special things that you're doing. And I'm often pointed to network and catch up with you. So it's really an honor that you're on the show. I know that folks will most certainly level up from the conversation and specifically your experience. And so without further ado, let's jump in. Let's get started. Brian Park, founder, CEO of Footprints Floors. Brian, how did franchising find you?
That question, because I do think it's very much a find you, at least in my experience in my world. I'm not sure there's some franchisors that was their plan and they pushed into it and made it happen, but certainly found me or found us. I was in the Air Force, got out of the military looking for a job, started installing floors, install sand and finished hardwood floors for a living for a few years, really just to feed my young family. I was married and starting to have kids and had a mortgage and all kinds of that. So started installing floors. From there, worked for a company for a few years, 2008, recession hits, started Footprints from there because I got let go from that business. They stopped paying their employees. So I had to start my own thing. So Footprints Floors started in December of 08, the middle of the recession. I had 2-year-old and an 8-month pregnant wife and an 800 square foot house and just needed to figure it out. So, and really for the next handful of years, grew the business in Denver. I was doing the floors myself, moved into managing the business and bringing on additional people. And then really in 2013 was when we decided to move into franchising. It wasn't so much a decision to move into, it was much more of a pull. It found us, just like you said. And it was really, I'd split Denver up into halves and I approached one of my crews and said, hey, I can't drive to the north side of town anymore. It's just too much. Do you want to take the north side and I'll take the south side? You send me back a percentage of what you book and sell, and I'll provide like the marketing and the answering your phones and all that for you. And so the alternative would have been to turn him into an employee and then go that route. Didn't want to go that route because workers' comp is ridiculously expensive in construction. Maybe like $100,000 a year in workers' comp to turn that guy into an employee. So we went this other route. Got to the end of the year though. Great. It worked great. But our accountant said, this is kind of illegal. You can't have him be 1099. He needs to be an employee and you got to pay workers comp. Or it kind of looks like you're running him as a franchisee. And I was like, I don't know what that even is. And so that I started researching what franchising was. Apparently it's not just McDonald's. And that was the beginning of our model. I hired some guy off the internet for $2,500 to make our first FDD and agreement. Put that in perspective, our current agreement's like $300,000. So the $2,500 version was, we called it our Swiss cheese FDD because it was a disaster. It was some boilerplate thing this guy had thrown together. In fact, I didn't proofread it well. And there was actually spots in the FDD that still reference the window washing company. But he had, and I didn't notice it. It was like done. And I'm like giving it to my first franchisees and they're like, hey, what's this window washing section? I'm like, oh, just skip that paragraph. Well, that was the beginning of our, luckily our first few franchisees were my buddies. And these were guys that we were just getting this document in place to kind of govern the relationship. But that was me getting pulled into franchising.
What an incredible story, right? Serving it in the U.S. Air Force. Thanks so much for your service, by the way. My boys did a wrestling tournament down at the academy about a month ago. It was pretty neat. It's such a special place, the Air Force Academy down in Colorado Springs.
I enjoyed being there. Learned a lot. Definitely helps with the running a business, that's for sure.
Right. One thing that you mentioned there, Brian, was that you were laid off in the Great Recession. You said it, clearly it's part of your story, probably just so normal for you, but would you mind taking us back there, 2008, 2009, Great Recession, the auto industry, there's a lot of corporate greed scandals going on, the stocks are just plummeting, real estate was the big bubble there. There's most certainly a lot of narratives in that time frame, and you ended up starting a business in that, you know, I want to go back there. I'm curious, when it comes to fear, how do you make decisions? Like, let's use this as an example, right? Back in 2008, 2009, you started a company, right? And that was your response, was to start a company. It seems like a time full of fear. How did you make the decision to start a business? And you started one from scratch, ma and pa style. Wasn't franchising much different. You have all the answers, the blueprint, the collaboration from the owners, everything that you need to get into business, you're doing it from scratch.
There's a lot to unpack there, but the short answer is just my faith, glory to God. You know, that's what carried us through those early days. And was there fear? Oh my gosh, heck yeah. The beauty of faith is God is sovereign and there's no reason to fear. And that's really where our name comes from. Footprints Floors is a poem called Footprints in the Sand. It's all about God carrying you even in the worst trials. It is then that he actually is carrying you. It was trials, but we persevered. My wife is amazing. So beyond my faith, it's relying on my wife and our family. Those early days, I was truly mom and pop out of my garage. And we were walking neighborhoods, putting flyers on doors in December and January in Colorado. My father-in-law out there walking around in the dark, putting flyers on doors, trying to get something, drum up something, because yeah, the world had shut down. Nobody was buying floors. Construction was especially hit. Nobody was moving. Everything was frozen up. And then, so the demand had dropped, but supply hadn't dropped yet. There was still a lot of flooring companies out there scraping for the little scraps that were on the table. And a lot of them ended up going out of business. But yeah, we launched right in the middle of that. And it was, yeah, by God's grace. I heard years later, somebody say that the Lord always pulls you into places he wants you to be. You don't have to push your way in. And I've always looked back, you know, in the lens of your life, looking back going, yeah, he really does create paths and pulls you in where he wants you to be. And that's, I think, really our story up to this day, is the Lord pulling us through. And so we really see this as his business and we're servants of his stewardship, is a biblical word, to be a steward of something. The Lord's put us in charge of his business. So as fear goes, yes, fear is there. But there is no need for fear.
How am I just getting into conversation with you, Brian? I can see why so many people are like, Nick, you need to meet Brian. What a cool story. And I love your immediate response there. It's faith, right? And it's beyond yourself and those trials, you know, that is when God is closest, and put it the way you did, you know, he's ultimately getting you through it. You had mentioned something there pretty nuancy, but you don't have to worry. You don't have to have concern because you have faith in knowing that you are being pulled, in this case, pulled into this path. And it sounds like there's some high performance components there, just meaning that it sounds like when you're walking into the unknown, it's important not to acknowledge or think about that unknown, or at least put it front and center. I feel like there's something there, but ultimately your secret weapon is your faith allows you to remove that fear.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot there. We could talk for hours and hours about how my faith is intertwined into our business, but I really try not to make any decisions without prayer and without wise counsel of those that are around me. So yeah, when we do enter into unknowns and decisions, whether it was back 15 years ago or today, it's really staring at those unknowns and putting them through prayer and through the lens of this wise counsel and really kind of trying to come to a place, where should we be? Which direction should we go? Should we do it or not? And praying that it is made clear to us. And if you go through these exercises and you really seek God's will and not your own, then fear is removed. Because if it's his will, then there's no need for fear.
Yeah, if he's going to provide for the birds in the sky, right? They don't wake up and say, is the sun coming up? Where am I going to get my seeds for the day? They're not worried about those things. They're provided. And clearly, if God provides for the birds, he's going to provide for you, his child. So what authority, though, right? I mean, you're walking into your day with full authority of your dominion, which is your business, of which you're called the steward. So neat and such a grounded way to lead and steward your organization. I bet your franchise owners are totally in love and confident with leadership and direction and knowing that you're grounded in the way that you make decisions and they're not hasty decisions. And we're going to get into how you include your franchise owners and everything else. But I do want to move on here. I could only imagine that growing your organization over the past decade or so from the franchise perspective at over 150 locations, I would assume you've hit some plateaus, Brian. What were some of those major plateaus that you can think about? And ultimately, how did you navigate through them?
We're actually in the middle of our first major franchising plateau. I mean, we had some plateaus in the early days before we started franchising, just growing the business in Denver. From the day that we launched nationally back in, June of 19, we just took off like a rocket ship. We went from one state to 40 and eight territories to like 170 in 2.5, 3 years. We have plateaued a little bit in this last year. And I think part of it might be the economy. And part of it, I think, is just a natural progression of business. And this is our current thought. We don't have all the answers. We're just trying to figure it out as we go here. I'm a floor guy that's pretending to know what he's doing here. Our current plateau, we grew so much. So we have 83 franchisees and like 60 something of them are all in their first or second year. So it's a lot of just figuring it out and trying to, and I think we've done a good job, but we're at this place and part of the plateau is we're just wanting everybody to mature and use the word percolate. Everybody needs to kind of just simmer a bit and cook and get experience and become better at their jobs. And that's what we're seeing right now. So it's in some ways a natural plateau that we're taking advantage of to really develop our current franchisees. And then if it's the Lord's will to launch again, then we will and skyrocket. If not, then we're content in where we're at.
Yeah, you're content where you're at, right? And really doubling down on the season that you're in, which is taking these first, second year franchise owners and doubling down on, hey, what works in the business? And executing on what matters to drive some results, get you into year three, year four, year five, as your business continues to mature, you know, helping these owners in their first 1, 2, 3 years of business, what are the key milestones that you're looking for in that early season? And how are you getting them there?
The first milestone is completing training. So we have like 4 weeks of training they go through and launch them in a good spot. And then from there, we've invested heavily financially and bringing on staff and then heavily just in my own time in ongoing just development. We have trainings like 3 a month. We bring in industry experts. We have all kinds of kind of that standard stuff, but we've been doing what we call business reviews. For the first 6 months, they do it monthly. And then from there on, we do a business review with them annually with me. So I go through their P&Ls from last year for an hour and just pour into it and see what I see. Let's see, 52 of 80 right now. I've got like 12 left to go. A lot of time. It's a lot of hours, but I love doing it. And I love pouring into these guys and gals to really help them see because they're new. A lot of them never even ran a business before. So it's teaching them the basics of P&Ls. And this is what you should be looking for. As far as key KPIs go, we're looking at estimate count. So that's overall like volume and opportunity. We look at sales numbers and the internal term we use is called the power rating, which is essentially revenue per estimate. So we're looking for $1,000 per estimate or plus is the metric that we use. Our average job size is probably smaller than yours. It's like 40, 200 bucks or something like that. And then the last one is gross margin. Are you capturing the revenue after cost of goods sold? And if they hit those three metrics, then everything else takes care of itself. They're making good money. They're being efficient with their time and their love in life. If they're not hitting those metrics, then those are areas of growth and opportunity for us to pour into them. And have you tried this? Let's do this. Let's go through sales training again. Here's these videos that we've created. Let's pair you up with our sales expert and make sure that you understand all of what you need to be doing. So yeah, there's tons. There's a lot.
So it's revenue per customer, gross margin, and what was the third one, Brian?
It's revenue per estimate, not necessarily, well, yeah, depending on how you define customer. But yeah, if we're in a house, then how much are we turning into? If you go to 10 estimates, did you book $10,000? That's the question. Whether it was one job that was 10 grand, you went one for 10, or if you went 10 for 10 and they're all 1,000 bucks, it's about the revenue side of it that's a matter that matters to us.
And you can probably see what is the average ticket of just overall estimates, and then what is the average ticket of the actual sold.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's an important differentiator there, right? You can dive into the overall quality of the presentation, which, you know, I'm sure you're inferring that from the P&L and thus your comment about, hey, let's dive into some sales training and figure out how to grow the average ticket or grow the average ticket of the ones that are closed. What are some themes that you notice as you're doing that P&L review? You're doing almost 80 of them, nearly through all of them, but what are some themes?
A major theme, which I love seeing, justifies all we're doing, is there's been a tremendous amount of success. These guys are making really good money. Most of them more than they've ever made in their lives, which I love seeing. And that's the entire reason for doing this. I'd feel terrible if they weren't, right? But no, we've seen a lot of success. The model works. A lot of happiness and everybody's loving what they do. There's definitely some outliers there for sure. And those are people we're pouring into more and more. But overall, the major theme is tremendous success. And then it's just fine tuning. It's like, hey, are you following the sales model? How are you managing your crews? How is getting 5-star reviews going for you? And really kind of encouraging and pushing them into that. We're ending each call by creating a to-do list, like tangible list of things they can do starting tomorrow. Go talk to this person, do this, sign up for that. All things that are going to help fix whatever minor deficiencies they might have in their business and just continue to grow and get better and advance and drive and goal set and all things that business owners should be doing.
Wow. And they're getting this opportunity with yourself. I could only imagine percentage of franchise organizations that do that individual P&L review and then business consulting with every single franchise owner. That's really impressive, Brian. And I commend you for that. Clearly a reflection of the way that you run your organization. So why are reviews so important? Why is that something that you're talking about with your franchise partners?
It's not about me. It's about them. You know, we're here to serve them. If you make decisions with that being central focus, what others first, love thy neighbor, what is the best way to use my time? And it's helping them in this way. It's pouring into them, hopefully helping them do better and better. I've noticed that a lot at goal setting is a natural tendency for me. Like that's just ingrained in me. And we're constantly thinking about the future and 6 and 2 years and 5 years and 10 years. Like that's just how my brain works. And if I'm not goal setting, I'm not breathing. But I think I'm weird. And I think that the vast majority of people are not natural goal setters. There's a tendency for them to not think too much about it. And for them to just kind of go through the motions of the year. It's like, oh, I always got money in my bank account. Things must be going well. It's like, yes, maybe, but they could be going better if you did this and this and move towards this goal. And so that's, I think, a lot of what I can do and help is I am a goal setter and I enjoy doing it. And so to sit and help them, we don't want to set the goals for them. It's not my business, it's theirs. So it's really coming alongside them, helping them think through their own goals and set their own goals. And then how can we help them achieve what they're trying to achieve? And it's, you know, some have lower goals, some have high goals and everything in between. And, you know, we don't have any strong opinions about it. What do you want to do this year? How are we going to get there? I might have my 2 cents, like that's a pretty low goal. I mean, you did this last year. You should exceed that. What do you think about this? I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. I'm like, okay. But yeah, it's relationships. It's just staying in front of them and reminding them that your franchisor is a real person that cares about you. And I think that goes a long way.
Yeah. Do you ever find that in these conversations, right, it's clearly their goals. You might have some opinions here and there, of course, but do you ever find that when you're giving tips and tricks on how to improve the business and improve the P&L, there's a little bit of hesitation or some resistance from your franchise partners? Or is everybody just totally like, you got it, thumbs up.
No. And having done these business reviews for a couple of years and 60 of them under my belt this year, there's a definite theme that comes out that more willing, I use that word willing on purpose, the more willing a franchisee is to push into the model, the more likely that they'll be very successful and make a lot of money. And it's each unwillingness in them, usually fear or time constraints or effort, that leads them to fall short of some of these expectations from the model. Each one of those ends up resulting in just a little bit less success. So for like example, here's an easy one that I see constantly. We teach them and beat it into them through our sales training that, hey, spend an hour with your homeowner and we want you to do the estimates inside the home. Write it up right there with the homeowner. We have all of the technology. It's super easy. And then simply ask for the sale. We're not slimy used car salesmen doing these hard closes, but just say, hey, how does that sound? Is this something you'd like to do? I can get you on a schedule. Just that little thing. And we watch sales numbers increase by 150 to 200%. And yet many of them don't feel comfortable doing the estimate in the house because they want to go home and use more time and be perfect. And they don't feel comfortable asking for the sale because that's scary, apparently. It's been a long time, done 20,000 estimates. I don't remember it being scary way back when, but anyway, it can be a scary thing. And so that's just one example of a dozen different things. Like these little nuanced things in our business model will lead to greater success. But then there's just this hesitancy to really push into certain things.
Was at the International Franchise Association this past month. And for anyone that's not aware, the IFA is the largest association in franchising. There's a great amount of knowledge that is exchanged at the events, the big one, the annual conference. And so I'm there and I'm listening in on a breakout session. And one of the folks that's leading the conversation was founder, CEO, very successful franchise organization. And, you know, I'm talking like maybe north of 400, 500 locations. And he's saying that something that they talk about inside their home office, their team is, hey, look, we're going to bring them along kicking and screaming. And so hit each other in the hallways. They're like kicking and screaming, kicking and screaming. It's ultimately for the organization's good to ask for the business in person. Clearly, you are going to have in this business model, it's not true for every business model, but for your business, obviously footprint, it's important to ask in the presentation. Still, you have a large percentage, maybe not the majority, but a big enough to be a notation, right? Not asking. And so bringing them along, kicking and screaming, right? Even against what's going to make them successful, what's going to benefit them. And you spoke to it, right? Being an experienced coach, you know, you said, hey, some are perfectionists and they want to go back home and do it in the setting where they can make it perfect. Somebody that's less detailed and more comfortable with kind of doing it on the fly, they're going to have no problem asking. It's like, oh yeah, sure. Of course. Like, yeah, it's going to get me the business. Yet the perfectionist is like, wait, hold on. You know, we got to make sure the thing is buttoned up and perfect. Right. So it's interesting how you not only have to talk to somebody for who they are, what their skills are, but then how do you get them to do it? Because that's totally different. How do they understand it? How do they learn it? And then how do they do it? And within a franchise company, throw in the independent business owner component. Nobody is W-2.
All you can do is lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. That's a lot of our business reviews is showing them mathematically. Like, watch what happens if I increase your sales rate. I have this huge long spreadsheet that's got lots of moving parts and it's pretty slick. The bottom of the spreadsheet shows their potential income. And it's like, watch if I increase your sales numbers just by like 20%. If you start doing the estimates in the house and asking 20%, that's lower than what we typically see. And your income doubles. Now you're not making 90, you're making 180. Do you think you should do your estimates in your house? And some are like, oh yeah. And then some are like, well, I don't know, like $90,000. Maybe you should start doing it. But all we can do is show them, and they see their peers and they see, you know, the high flyers that are making tons of money and winning the awards and all that stuff. And they notice that those guys in the house ones, and that's just one example. There's other things that we do that. So, but yeah, I think that you understand what I'm getting at. I don't like the kicking and screaming because it makes them sound like children, but sometimes you're like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. And sometimes it can seem so childish that somebody is going that much against what's going to make them successful, right? And ultimately, that's the franchisor-franchisee relationship. Granted, no way is that about treating somebody like a child, but it is absolutely about getting somebody to do something that they may not see for their benefit, right? And my goodness, that is such a benefit in the franchise model. You know, you have a leadership team that you trust in, that you believe in, and you know they have your back, and you partnered with them because of their leadership style. There's all these options out there in the market, and you get to choose which organization you're going to partner with. And a big part of that is culture. In moments like this, how do I expect my franchisor to deal with me or others in situations? And not everything is going to be concern-free, right? We're going to have moments of growth and moments of leveling up. And growth and leveling up, it means stepping into your areas of discomfort and making decisions in the unknown. And the beautiful thing about the franchise model is you get to do that with other individuals, other business owners, your home office. And so on that note, Brian.
Well, we often use this analogy of this kind of path. We're walking down a path. And I really stole it from Pilgrim's Progress, if you ever read that book. It's an allegory, right? And we're on this path. And what I think franchising really is these newbie franchisees that are just starting at the beginning of the path and starting to walk. We're all on the exact same path. Some just happen to be farther along than others. Okay, I'm just 3 years down the road, but even me, I'm 15 years down the road and I'm on the exact same path. I started in my garage. I installed floors myself. I sold. I've done every single aspect of the job. I've hired staff and I'm only asking people to do the exact same, walk the exact same walk I've been walking for 15 years. And I think there's so much peace that can come from that for a new franchisee to see 80 people in front of them walking the same path, the same thing, like, hey, just stay on the road. It works. You know, this is the path to, you know, a good income and a good lifestyle. And so I think at the core of it, that's what franchising is. It's setting a path. And so then we have this running joke of everybody wants to like create their own path. I'm going to go off here into this forest for some reason. Like, no, 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 stay back on the road. And we have all of our staff like walking along the side of the road, just pushing them back up on the model. Like, no, follow the signs. Don't get off into the forest in the field somewhere. The farther you get off the path, the harder it is for us to get you back on. So stay over here.
Yeah, we know countertops and kitchens is kind of like a floor. It's kind of like putting down a surface, but we don't do that. Just being silly and extreme there, right? I mean,
Before, we had somebody start getting into fencing. Like it's wood fence. I'm like, no, we don't do fencing. We do floors and fencing. That's no. Stick to the inside of the house, please.
Yeah, exactly. My point, right? And that's what strengthens the model, creates brand consistency, right? The strength of the brand is that, okay, when I work with somebody from Footprints Floors in Denver or Boise, Idaho, or New Jersey down to Florida, it's going to be very similar experience from the culture, the values, the service offered, and the way in which business is done, that consistency. The stronger that every franchise partner is committed to the same model and improving the same model. Yes, we want to innovate. Yes, we want to level up. We want to do it with the same vision, the same implementation, because really we're uniting all of our resources as a franchise organization. If we're kind of footprint floors of John in Spokane and we do things differently, it's really breaking the model and deteriorating what makes the brand great. And so that consistency, that alignment, everybody marching in the same path, it's such an important part of franchising. And so to that point, Brian, I'm just curious, you know, how do you work with your franchise partners when you are implementing something new, you're thinking about it, or you're just shifting the direction of the brand? What does this collaborative process with franchise owners look like for your organization? Clearly, every franchise owner is in business for themselves, but they're not by themselves. Everyone's invested in this asset together. It's everybody's business. Granted, every franchise owner is licensing the brand and the systems and the blueprint. And that's the franchisor's responsibility to steward the quality of the brand. And yet you have all these investors that are franchise partners, that are owners, that are executing. It's an interesting dynamic there. But for your organization, how do you guys collaborate with the owners in implementing and ultimately changing or evolving the brand over time?
I think it starts with just your perception and treatment of franchise partners. I've never seen them as my employees. They are truly my partners. And And I really see the franchisor is the servant. Like, these are our customers in some way. And it is tricky, right? Because we are responsible for the brand. So there's hey, you got to do certain things, but I just don't want to create a police state. So I want to create a very open environment with our franchisees where they feel safe and heard. They can bring up new ideas. I love new ideas. I am the innovator of our business and I love it. That's just how I'm built. That's the whole goal setting thing. And so I love hearing new ideas and I don't have any problem telling people when they have a bad idea or if they have a great idea, let's do it. And so we're constantly pushing that way. But I think it starts with the treatment of the franchisee and creating a culture of kind of an open forum of being able to talk and communicate access to the decision makers. Part of that's that business review. A huge thing that we've done almost since day one is we created, it's a forum, a Google chat. So we have 140 people, a lot of employees, industry experts that are all in this chat. And there's 200 something comments every day. We have different chats happening. Some are like flooring specific, so it might be more technical. And then we have one that's just the franchisees on a chat. And there's 100 and something on that one. And it's just all day asking questions. I'll pose questions. I'm on there. I probably answer more on there than anybody. So it might be systems, like, how do we do this? How do we implement that? It might be them saying, hey, I ran into these guys in my market. Has anybody ever heard of this company? We should partner with them. And there's just this constant flow of information. So we're really tapping into 175 markets of ideas instead of everything having to generate from one central point. And I love it. 175 different places all talking. We have over 1,000 people in this business now. And so all of these different minds and skill sets and backgrounds are so diverse, school teachers. And you know, we have a cosmetic industry, like manufacturer, manager, like everything in between you can name. And I love the diverse backgrounds that we do have and diverse thoughts. And so we really tap into it. We do annual convention, which has been huge, and bringing together people and ideas and seeing each other face to face. I love doing that. Oh, we just launched about 4 months ago an advisory council made up of franchisees voted on by their peers. So we had our first meeting a couple of weeks ago and we're starting to push into that. And that's really a platform or a place for ideas to flow up from the franchisees to the franchisor and then vice versa. Really just kind of a talking ground, a place to sort out what we should be doing and not doing. And because I want their feedback, I don't want to do anything that's going to be detrimental to the overall system. That's the opposite of what I'm trying to do. I want to make lives easier, not harder.
Yeah, absolutely. I never really watched the History Channel, not that I have anything against it, but I was kind of just scanning through the channels yesterday and killing some time. I stumbled on this show, is like the restaurant that founded America, something like that. And thought, oh, this seems pretty interesting. And sure enough, it was. It really was hitting on Dairy Queen and how Dairy Queen innovated soft serve ice cream. And up until then, it was really just frozen ice cream. And at the time, they didn't have machines to create the soft serve. And in fact, they really struggled with just mass freezers and ice cream, just in general. Like, the industry was not where it is today, for sure. But Dairy Queen, being the innovative company that they were, created all of that. And as they started scaling through franchising, their owners were, they really wanted to start buttoning down on consistency across the brand. They had this national footprint that was laid, but their issue that they came up on, their plateau, was that they had inconsistencies across all of their locations. So folks would go to a Dairy Queen here and a Dairy Queen there. And it was just like, whatever, right? Whatever menu and maybe a twist on the logo. And so when they standardized everything, they actually standardized food and incorporated the hamburger and fries. And like, that is nothing like ice cream, like a hamburger and fries, right? So like, now they're not only mass on a franchise, from a franchise perspective, nationally serving ice cream, they're also in the fast food business now. And that was just such a neat, I could just totally relate running a franchise organization, much like yourself, Brian, where you have the consistencies of the brand and what makes it powerful, but yet there is innovation and collaboration from the franchise owners. They have a good beat on what's going on day in, day out, what's making them competitive, what are some new entities in the market that everyone should incorporate, including into the business, so that it makes it easy for everybody. So you guys have created a franchise advisory council. And so, yeah, this really standardizes the way that franchise owners influence the what's being implemented in the brand, the direction of the brand. What an exciting development within your organization. We actually just implemented our FHC about half a year ago. So we're about the same time frame and really been picking up steam, and we've really been standardizing the cadences for communication. And there are some growing pains in it, understanding, okay, what are the dynamics of decision-making and what are the dynamics of the franchise owners and how they contribute in the home office and how they contribute. And at the core of all that is trust and communication and ultimately the customer. And it's something I've really been settling on as of late, is that the home office and the franchise owner are united, engaged, accountable, and working together for the customer. I think it really just does a beautiful job of simplifying, what are we doing here at the FHC? Like, this is about being competitive in the marketplace and taking our, in the way that we operate in the marketplace, because that's what we're doing. We're competing.
Yeah. In a competitive landscape. Yeah. How we differentiate ourselves from the other flooring companies, the other paint companies, or whatever your industry is. And yeah, exactly what we do. And, you know, we install floors. I've been saying for 15 years, like, we don't do anything magical. We install floors. And so customers would ask, well, why should I go with you? It's because you get me. It's this concept of integrity. We're going to show up. Not all flooring installers are created equal. We're pushing against that misconception or that myth. It's like, oh, this floor guy or that floor guy or this painter or that painter, they're all the same, right? Oh, absolutely not. This is not a car getting made with lasers in a factory somewhere. This is humans molding nature in your home, and you're hoping for the best. So Air Force Academy's slogan, I don't know if you saw it when you were there for that wrestling tournament last week, but integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. And that's really been ingrained into me just in how I conduct myself and really what we pass along to our franchisees. It's integrity first, which means doing the right thing, even when no one's watching. It's service before self. It's really putting the needs of your customers, the needs of your crews before yourselves. And then it's just excellence in all we do. You know, work as though you're working for the Lord alone. And if you start with all of that, then everything else takes care of itself.
You're so right, Brian. Integrity, service, excellence. I mean, those three things done consistently for any organization, you're going to kick your competitors' butt all day. Mm-hmm. And the competitors that can do that with you, great, they're going to make you better. Those are the peers in the competitive landscape that are actually going to make you better. You're going to make each other better. But it's really hard to consistently deliver integrity, service, and excellence. So the organizations that are able to rise and do that across the country in this example, those are the ones that are going to, the cream rises to the top. And that is a beautiful journey that a franchise organization is aligned in doing that, doing it with integrity, serving one another in a commitment to excellence, to deliver flooring service, a painting service, and do it under that brand. It's really a fun process. I commend you again for all the things that you're doing. I love the FHC. You know, what are some KPIs, right? Let's change the subject a little bit. Get us some KPIs. What are some key performance indicators in your business that you guys are really aligned behind and you know are going to move the dial for the business?
Overall franchise business or each individual franchisee?
Let's go individual franchise owner.
Profitability is our number one. And then just joy, enjoying what they do. And that's a hard metric, right? You just simply ask. You have enough conversations with your franchisees, you figure out if they're liking life or not. And while we would love both doing awesome, making tons of money and enjoying it, and for the most part, that's what we see. And are there hard days? Yeah, but we come alongside, mentor, and our director of franchise support, who's answers to me, he's kind of the guy in charge of the development of all these franchisees nationally. As a pastor, as a previous pastor, it's what he did in his life. He was Air Force pastor. And now he's a franchise. So he really has this heart for people and just hearing them and listening to where they're at and help. It's a spiritual battle running a business as much as anything. So while there's not a metric there, it's constant interaction with our franchisees to make sure they're doing well emotionally and spiritually. But then also bottom line revenue. There's this false thinking of top line revenue, which is generally what franchisors care about, right? Because our royalties are attached to the top line. And we've done everything we can to avoid that line of thinking. We care about the profitability of the franchisee. If he's making good money, then we're fine. We shouldn't. Franchisee, we do have really high top line, you know, gross revenues, but then are making good money. And those are the guys we really need to come alongside and help remedy that issue. Is it a gross margin issue? Are they undercharging their customer or overpaying their crews or materials or whatever it is? But yeah, I would say those are our two main KPIs. And in looking at We do reviews and surveys with homeowners, and then we're watching five-star reviews on the internet, overall reputation in a given market. Those are really important, although our guys knock it out of the park, so it's not really a huge concern. We have tons of five stars out there. So, but yeah, just something to be monitoring for sure.
Getting great five-star reviews is key, right? Growing that local brand halo. You know, everyone goes online to get confidence in doing business with anybody, whether it's food, a service you're going to get, an auto place, you're going to check out a vehicle. Business is done online. Those reviews are pivotal. One thing that we've learned, which is an interesting little nugget here, is that when you get the review on the job site before the job is closed out, like your ability to get reviews goes through the roof. As soon as you leave and you follow up with communications trying to get the review, it doesn't matter how happy they were. They're five-star, thumbs up all day long. But as soon as they close life out happens. The account.
This is one of those things that we push. We tell them at the end of a job, just make it awkward. Say, hey, do you feel like we did five-star service at your house? And every single, you know, pretty much everybody's like, oh yeah, your guys were great. Okay, would you mind giving me a five-star now? I'll send you the link. And then you just look at them and they're like, oh crap, I thought I was going to be able to procrastinate and then not do this. But you just make it awkward and they do it. And that's just an example of we're asking franchisees, push into this awkward and do it, because you're going to get a lot of five-star reviews if you do it. And there's just pushback out of fear. And I don't want to do that. That's weird. And like, that's how you get reviews. You make it awkward and people do it.
Yep. I love it, right? You know, whether it's asking for the sale, asking for the review, just make it awkward for your best performance. Yep.
And it's internal fear. It's never, the customers are always fine. They're like, oh yeah. Like I've been on that side. How many times have we been asked for reviews as we're going about as consumers, right? You're at the car dealership or the everywhere. We get constantly asked and I don't care. Like, sure, I'll give it to you. It's not weird for me as the consumer. And I think our homeowners are the same way. It's fear in the franchisee, not fear in the homeowner. So
yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. And again, what a powerful resource to lean on as a franchise owner. You're not alone. You're in business with your peers, who your peers are also telling you, get the review, ask for the sale, right? Your coaches, your home office are doing the same thing. Brian, you shared so many nuggets here, so much gold that you just humbly deliver. I can see why, if I'm a potential franchise owner, why I'm wanting to team up with your organization. You do business the right way, and it's clear that your franchise owners are front and center, and you're serving them with excellence and integrity. Brian, I can talk to you for so long. Obviously, that's not possible today, but we definitely need to get together, most certainly. We're here in each other's backyards. So you'll be hearing from me, bugging you, trying to maybe we can get together for a game over at Ball Arena or something. But if anyone is interested in getting in touch with you, learning more, how can they do that?
If you want to learn more about the franchising, it's footprintsfloors.com. We have a little button in the top. I think it's footprintsfranchising.com. I should probably know that, right? Yeah. If you'd like to learn more, we have tons of information, tons of marketing material out there, webinars and podcasts and you name it, it's out there. There's no shortage. So thank you so much, Nick. This has been awesome.
Footprints Floors, please check them out online. Like Brian said, you can find them anywhere online. They have some tremendous content. Please like this video, but more importantly, subscribe to the show. It's how we're able to continue to grow and get amazing guests like Brian on the show, but also contribute to the convo here. Drop some comments. Let us know your thoughts. Clearly, I leveled up. I'm sure you did as well. And Brian, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Nick.
As always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.